big difference between trying to get the victory and being victorious. Big difference. Mark 11:24 says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you have received them. Well, so it's not just enough to pray and beg and ask God to do something. No, you've got to believe He's given you the victory. Believe He's given you the request that you ask. And you know, if someone was to come up and immediately answer your prayer, you know there'd be some excitement there. There'd be some joy there. There'd be a little bit of swagger there, a little bit of attitude there. But it's the same way with God. When you're trusting Him that He is fighting your battle for you, then you know, I'm not trying to get the victory. I am victorious in Him. Amen. The battle is not mine. The battle is the Lord's. The fight of faith is not a fight to try to obtain things. It's a fight mentally. It's a fight believing that God has already fought the battle for you. That the battle is the Lord, but the victory is yours. Amen. Amen. So no matter what you're going through, always maintain joy and peace in believing. If you're really believing the Lord for something, there's joy there. There's peace there. Because you know the Lord is going to take care of you. Amen. At some point, you got to believe that you receive when you prayed. And so go ahead and do it and just know that God is fighting your battle for you. Amen. Amen. Well, let's pray and go before the Lord. Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. Let it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I thank You, Lord, that as I speak today, I'm not alone in my words, but I believe that as I speak and as these people hear my voice with their ears, they're going to hear a whole lot more than that. I believe You've given us a helper, the Holy Spirit, so that while I'm talking, He's talking. He's talking to their hearts, leading and guiding them in what they need to know specifically, tailor-making my message just for their heart. I believe, Lord, that they will hear everything they need to hear. And I thank You, Lord, for it. We'll be quick, Lord, to never glory in Your presence, but to give You all the praise and all the glory, for You and You alone are worthy. And You alone deserve all the praise. We thank You, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Amen. Open up your Bibles, if you have them, to the book of Romans chapter 8. If you don't have a Bible and you would like one, you can lift up your hand now and our happy ushers will give you a Bible. You say, well, I don't have a Bible at all. Well, you do now. That one is yours to keep. If you do have a Bible and for whatever reason weren't able to bring it, then at the end of service, you can give that Bible back to our ushers. Our goal here at Word of Life is to teach you the Word of God. I'm not up here just to talk or to give a little cute sermon. No, we want life to come. And that's exactly why this church is named Word of Life, because we want words of life being spoken. And the only way to do that is to preach from the Bible. We preach the whole truth. We report, you decide. Romans chapter 8. And let's look here in verse 14. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Notice this. This is one of my all-time favorite scriptures. Oh, it has meant the world to me over the years. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now that sounds real good, but let's read it real slow. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Notice what the Bible says. Sons of God, you could say children of God, daughters of God, are designed to be, are supposed to be, ought to be led. Led by who? Led by the Spirit of God. On Wednesday nights, we've been teaching a series entitled Walking with God. I want to encourage you, if you can come, to come. But we're talking about these principles. God wants to lead you. As a little child, you know, I grew up in this church, in a charismatic church. My father was the pastor of this church before I was. And as a little child, I remember, well, to be honest with you, seeing my father walk with God. I mean, he knew God. He knew Him. You hear people talk about Him, but it's one thing to know about Him. It's another thing to know Him. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. I know Him. And my father knew God. I knew he did. I mean, you could see it. You could see it in his, the way he talked to him. This was a man who knew God. And I would hear him make statements like the Lord told me. Or I feel like we should. I've got peace about this. Or I've got a witness to go over there. And I saw his life. My father didn't graduate from high school. He got his GED. He wasn't someone who was studied up and business principles or those types of things. But I saw his life flourish. I mean, I kid you not, friend. I saw his life just increase as a child. I saw what God did through this man. And it wasn't because, you know, we had a church of about 1,000 at his pastorate. He didn't have staff meetings. He didn't have a big staff. He didn't have a paid musician leader or even a paid children's church pastor. And I saw the church do nothing but grow under his tenure. And I know it was because of several different principles, but possibly none more so than this. He was led by the Spirit of God. Friend, I saw that as a child, and I became convinced right then and there that if I could learn to be led by the Spirit of God, I would have it made. If I could learn to hear God, what a supreme advantage. What an awesome opportunity to be able to hear God, to know it's God's will for me to work here. It's God's will for me to go to school here. It's God's will for this friend to be in my life. It's God's will for me to go to that meeting, to marry this person. It's God to know it's God's will. If my life is tailor-made to the will of God, it's bound to be good. It's bound to work out. So could it be that a man could actually be led by the Spirit of God? Friend, it's not could it be. It's you are. If you are a child of God, it says very clearly here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, that the sons of God are led. Not trying to be led, are led by the Spirit of God. That means right now, if you're born again, you're hearing from the Lord. Well, why don't people know they're hearing from the Lord? You'd even have Christians who are adamant about debating whether or not you can hear from God. But here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, it says that sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. God is not a liar and God is not an exaggerator. If he says sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, there's no debate. They are. You can't debate with God. He wins every time. He is the truth. Romans 8 and 14 tells us sons of God, children of God, are led by the Spirit of God. Well, how does God lead man? Brother Hagin, he's got a wonderful book out there, Kenneth E. Hagin. He's gone home to be with the Lord, passed away in 2003 at the age of 86. He started the Bible school that I went to, and so I gleaned from him quite often. His book back there on how to be led by the Spirit of God, I believe it makes this statement, but I heard him say it all the time, and it's so true if you want to learn how to be led by the Spirit of God. He said, too many times, individuals, born-again Christians, they're always looking for the spectacular and all the while missing the supernatural. And friends, that is the absolute truth when it comes to hearing from the Lord. People are looking for the spectacular, looking for or trying to hear an outward voice, hearing a voice, seeing a sign. You hear people pray, Lord, if it's your will for me to do this, have 7 red cars pass in front of my home. There goes one. Oh, no, there's a blue one. It must not be the will of the Lord. So naturally minded, trying to see something spectacular. He said they're looking for that and all the while missing the supernatural. There's something that you're already acquainted with. You'll find out what that is as we continue in this little dialogue. There's something you're already acquainted with. That is God. And it is supernatural. And if you can learn to look for this, and if you can learn to be led by this, mark my words, you will have it made. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, but they're not led the way they think they are. How does God lead man? Well, let me show you how he leads man. Let's keep reading here in verse 15. It says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, But you've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Notice this in verse 16. The spirit itself, a correct translation would be himself. He is not an it. He is a him. Himself beareth witness. Notice this phrase here, bears witness. The spirit himself bears witness. Bears witness with our what? Not our flesh, not our mind. The Holy Spirit bears witness with what? Our spirit. Our spirit. Man is a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit is the real you. It's what gives you life. Your flesh is like a glove. How many of you ever worn a glove before? You put the glove on your hand and the glove looks like it comes to life. It has movement. You take your hand out of the glove, it's just a natural piece of material, just laying there. No life to it at all. Why? Your hand is out of it. Same way is with you spiritually. The part of you that lives forever is your spirit. That's why if you've ever gone to a funeral and just seen a coffin there with a person in it, that's not them, that's the glove. Their spirit was the one giving them life. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There is a part of you that's the real you that's in you. That's your spirit man. That's the part that God communicates with. He's communicating not with your flesh, not with your intellect, not with your mind. He's communicating with your spirit. There are three R's to being led by the Spirit of God. If you can master these three R's, you can be led. The three R's are as follows. Number one, the first R is respect. Everyone say respect. Respect. That's your first R. If you can master these three R's, you will be led by the Spirit. First R is respect. The second R is recognize. Everyone say recognize. Recognize. First R is respect. Second R is recognize. And the third R is respond. Respond. Everyone say respond. The first key to being led by the Spirit of God, we're going to major on number two, but I'm going to make mention of the first one and the third one. The first key to being led by the Spirit of God is you've got to respect God. And what I mean by that is this. When it comes to being led by the Spirit of God, you've got to slow down your life enough and ask Him what to do. God desires to help us. And there are some people He helps a whole lot more than others. And it's not because He's a respecter of persons. It's just some people yield to Him more. To yield to God means to slow down and look for His guidance, look for His leading. And you know from Romans 8, chapter 16, that He's communicating with your spirit. There's a lot of different words for this word spirit all throughout the Bible. And when it comes to being led from the Lord, sometimes it's called the heart. Other times it's called the inward man. I like Peter's version of it. He calls him the hidden man of the heart. There's a scripture over in the book of Proverbs that calls it the belly. All of these things have one thing in common. They're inward. They're inward. So if you're slowing down enough, yielding to the Lord enough in your decision-making processes, when it comes time to make a decision, where do you look? Look to your heart. You look to your heart. You're looking inward. You're not thinking about it. You're not contemplating it. You're not asking other people what's their opinion. When it comes time to make a decision, you respect the Lord enough to believe He is the ultimate authority on your life. You respect Him enough to believe that He is truly what He says He is. The beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. You believe that He knows the end from the beginning. That's why in Genesis you can read the past, then turn the end of the Bible, read the book of Revelations, and read about the future. God lives outside of time. He knows what should take place in your life and mine. He knows it. And His goal is to lead you into His perfect will and plan for your life. And where He's leading you is by your spirit. So if you want to be led by God, you've got to respect Him. How do you respect Him? You slow down enough to check the inside, to look to the inside. Go to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, we'll look at this scripture. Book of Proverbs, chapter 20 and verse 27. Proverbs chapter 20. In verse 27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the what kind of parts? inward parts of the belly. You ever heard someone say, I just trust my gut? That's a lot more spiritually accurate than a lot of people think. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. What's it doing? Searching all the inward parts of the belly. What does this mean? Well, I'll put it to you this way. If you lost an earring in your living room, it was dark outside, and you wanted to find it, what would you do? Cut on some light. Then you'd start searching for it. If it was really valuable, you'd search for it until you find it. You know it's in the living room. You know it's somewhere in here, so you get light. If you don't have enough light, you may get a flashlight to look in between some cracks. Why? You know it's in here. You're not going to quit looking for it until you find it. Why? It's valuable to you. Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. What this means here is God guides you through your spirit. And it's your job to search there, to search, to keep looking to the inside. When do you give up the search? Not until you find the thing you're looking for. What are you looking for? You're looking for what to do. I remember I was talking to a man who was with my father when they bought this piece of property back in 1999. He said they looked at a number of different properties around here. All of them looked better than this because at that time nothing was out here. Dogwood wasn't there. Walmart wasn't there. I mean, everything past the movie theater there on Lakeland Drive was all in front of the movie theater, not behind it. And so they were looking all around those type of areas and over by the airport to find a piece of property that was good. And every time he'd walk on a piece of property, this man was telling me the other day that within the first minute or so, they knew, my father would say, this is not it. This is not it. Well, he said, we haven't even looked at it. We haven't even looked at the sheets and the acreage and all of those things. This is not it. Where was he looking? He's looking to the inside. We're going to get into what he was looking for in a minute here. He said, when they stepped on this property, at that time it was nothing but trees. I don't even think it was for sale at this time. Immediately when they walked on, he said, this is it. And here we are today. He bought 45 acres for $1 million. I think 1.1, something like that, million dollars. That's not a bad deal. It appraised for when we bought it for right at six. Does the Spirit of the Lord know? Sure he does. I love what John Osteen used to always say, Joel Osteen's father. He said, I came to realize, and this is some of the best advice he said he could give people, that God is smarter than I am. That's good advice, isn't it? Why don't you say that? It'd do us good to say it. Say, God is smarter than me. He is. So when it comes to your decision making, who should you listen to? The Lord. Respect him enough, yield to him enough, slow down enough to find out his will concerning the matter. Well, where do you look to do that? On the inside. You keep looking to the inside. Go over to one more scripture and then we'll continue with the next part and close. Proverbs chapter 3, it's right here. You'll see this real clearly in this scripture. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. I'm sure many of you know this scripture. You could probably quote it, but think of it in these contexts. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Watch what it says here. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your what? Heart. How many of you know that's not talking about your blood pump, a natural physical organ? No, it's talking about on the inside. The heart of a tree is the center of a tree. The heart of a melon is the center of a melon. Your heart is your center. Another name for it in the New Testament is your spirit man. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And watch this next part. Lean not to your own what? Understanding. What is understanding a faculty of? Your mind, your intellect. He says, don't listen to that. Why? It's hit or miss. When Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it sent man down a downward slope. His spirit man died, which means he could no longer hear from the Lord inwardly, and he was left with trial and error. When he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it happened just what God said it would happen. He died spiritually, not physically. He died spiritually. And when he ate of that, he was no longer had that faculty to yield to. All he was left with was his mind. Well, what does that mean? It means exactly what the tree said it would mean. He would now have knowledge of good and evil. What does that mean? It means trial and error. Sometimes he would try to plant a harvest, and sometimes it would reap, sometimes it wouldn't reap. So he'd get an educated when it did work, and he would try to duplicate that the next time. The only problem was guess what? Maybe it didn't rain the exact way it rained the last crop. Trial and error. That's what happens with our mind. You can educate your mind as much as you can, but at the end of it, all it is still an educated guess. Your mind could think of all the reasons in the world you should marry that man, but at the end, only God knows the end from the beginning. This is why people miss it all the time with investments. You have some of the greatest financial minds in the world who lost millions of dollars. How'd they miss it? Their mind was educated. Yes, it was. Someone went to the greatest institutions in all the world. But it's not as good as learning to be led by the Spirit, because God never misses it. You have a witness. A witness in a trial testifies about what they know. A good witness will not get up and testify about what they think. A good witness will testify about what they know. They've seen it, they touched it, they saw it, they know it. Your witness is on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit. It's a knowing. It's a knowing. That knowing is right 100% of the time. When you ask someone for advice in the natural, they can tell you what they think. When you ask God for advice, He tells you what He knows. Big difference. It's a big, big difference. So what are you doing? You're going to do exactly what the Scripture tells us to do. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all of your ways, do what? Acknowledge Him, and He will do what? Direct your paths. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. So when you're coming up to make a decision, what do? Acknowledge God. God, what should I do? I need some advice here. I need some wisdom here. What do I do, Lord? I need to know what to do. You're acknowledging Him. Well, He tells us what He would do. He'll start directing our what? Our paths, the way that we should go. Acknowledging the Lord, what should I do? When you're looking for an answer, you're not looking for it out here, you're looking for it in here. You're looking for a witness. You're looking for a knowing. The second arm is recognize. You've got to know what to look for. And this is the thing that separates the children from the adults, if you will, the man from the boys, the ladies from the girls. You've got to know what you're looking for. When you're looking to the inside, what do you look for? You're looking for a witness. Go to the book of Acts. Go to the book of Acts. On the screens, if you can pull up Colossians chapter 3 in verse 15, we're going to the book of Acts. Colossians 3 chapter 15, or chapter 3 verse 15 in the Amplified. Colossians chapter 3 verse 15 in the Amplified, we're going over to the book of Acts. You know what? On the way to the book of Acts, stop in Luke. It's on the way. Luke, and turn to chapter 1, still on the screens, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 in the Amplified. How many of you know that all Scripture is written under the inspiration of God? Isn't that right? All Scripture, everything that's written in this book, it's a living, breathing word from God. In fact, the Bible tells us that God moved upon these individuals to write these books. We'd all agree with that. There's no theologian in the world would give me an argument over that. We believe that this is not just a book, but the words of God. So with that in mind, look at Luke. You know, the book of Luke was written as a letter to a king. And watch why Luke says he wrote this letter. Luke chapter 1, we'll start in verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. This is what I want to get at in verse 3. It seemed good. Everyone say that phrase. Say, it seemed good. to me also, having the perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mayest know us the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Why is Luke writing this letter? It seemed good to him. We don't know if he's walking or sitting around the house, but as he's doing it, it just seems good to write a letter to King Theophilus to explain the gospel to him. But we know all scripture is spoken of God. But he's not having some awesome revelation. He's not seeing an angel come down and tell him what to write. He's not getting an audible voice. It just seems good to write a letter. And as he's writing, the Holy Spirit's moving upon him to write what needs to be written. And we get the gospel of Luke. It seemed good. What are you looking for? You're looking to the inside. What are you looking for? You're looking for a witness. Seems good to do this. Now, other times, it seems like I need to get out of here. Then other times, it seems like I don't need to listen to them. Or other times, it seems like I need to invest in them. Don't over-spiritualize it. Don't look for the spectacular and all the while miss the supernatural. God leads you by the inward witness. The inward witness. Are there other ways he can lead? Yes, but 99% of the time, it's just a witness. Your seemer seeing something. On the inside, it seems like I need to do something. Another word for this is found in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15 in the Amplified. I love this. It says, and let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule, act as an umpire continually in your hearts. Deciding and settling with all finality all the questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state. Notice, in this life, and I know you've had it, I know I've had it, there are questions that arise in your mind. What do I do? What settles those questions? Let the peace of God act as an umpire. I'm a big baseball fan. What's an umpire do? He decides whether it's in the strike zone or out of the strike zone. Peace is designed by God to settle all the questions that arise within your mind. That peace is in your heart. It's telling you whether you need to get in or get out. If you can learn to look for that, check on the inside. Check for that peace or lack thereof. Check for, does this seem good or do I need to hold off on this? If you can learn to look for that, you'll have it made. You will have it made. You know, people laugh. When I met my mom, who was living in Birmingham, called and said she had a young lady she wanted me to go on a blind date with. You know, I said, well, you need to send me a picture. Well, I wanted that, obviously. You know, you want to make sure, you know, you can. Well, anyway, I wanted to see what she looked like. Of course, that's part of it. But more than that, I wanted to see if it seemed good to meet her. And man, I kid you not, I had a witness. I need to go meet her. We went out on a date and it tanked. I mean, it tanked. It was terrible. It was some way or another, we went out. It was Ryan's birthday. Ryan and Hope were there. Marcus Whitman III and my mother were there. And that's my father passed away, and my mother got remarried to Marcus Whitman III, my father now. And he's a wonderful man, but we have fun with him. That's what we call him. That's his name. But anyway, we were all sitting around the dinner table, and some way or another, they start talking about the rapture. I mean, that's not what you want to talk about on your first date. And while, we were sitting by each other and our legs kind of touched him. When we sat down, you pulled away real quick, and you know, all of these types of things. I'm thinking she doesn't like me because she's nervous. I'm nervous. And finally, you know, the date's over, and oh, I was so glad when it was over because it was just so taxing. And just, anyway, I get back and I've made up my mind. I'm not going to call her. You know, it was fun. I'm sure, I hope she enjoyed it, but there didn't seem like there was any type of chemistry or anything. But there's a witness. You need to call her. Then you know the story. I woke up the next morning. I was having my devotional. And I opened up my mom's Bible because I left mine at the house. And when I opened up my mom's Bible, I was reading the story of Isaac and Rebekah. and said they called her to see what she would do. And that was the only thing highlighted in that entire two pages was they called her to see what she would do, and she became his wife. And so I was like, dear me, I don't recommend, you know, flopping and point to be led, but I tell you what, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Well, anyway, my mind was still fighting me. I shouldn't call her, but I had a witness on the inside. It seemed good. And so I waited. She was in college at the time. So I waited to when I knew she said she was in class. And I called her then, left her a voicemail. Just put the ball in her court. If she wants to call me, she can. And anyway, friend, I'm telling you. Oh, it was wonderful. Other than Jesus Christ, there has been no greater blessing than having her in my life. She has made me such a better man. And such a better pastor. But the reason why is I was led. I didn't see a voice, didn't hear a voice or have a vision. I had a witness. I need to go up there and meet her. What are you looking for on the inside? You're looking for a witness. You're looking for peace. Does it seem good or not? If it doesn't, back off. I want to show you a couple examples here. Give me 3 minutes, 3 more minutes, and we'll be done completely. In the book of Acts, chapter 11, we're going to look at several examples of this. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Acts chapter 11, Peter has seen a vision in which he saw animals that he considered unclean being dropped down in a vision. And the Lord said, these are clean. And the Lord was using that vision to tell him that he needed to preach the gospels, not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. And so he's questioning this in his mind because he's never heard anything like this. And while he's questioning in his mind, I just want you to see this phrase here, Acts chapter 11 and verse 12. We're going to look at several in the next couple of chapters of Acts real quick, so get ready to turn. Acts chapter 11 and verse 12, notice the phrasing, and the Spirit bade me go. The Spirit bade me to go. The Spirit was prompting me. There's a prompting. You need to do this. The Spirit bade me to go. Well, I'll go over to Acts chapter 16. So we see the Lord, the Holy Spirit can lead you. But just something on the inside says, I need to do this. Now notice Acts chapter 16 and verse 5. So he went over there and preached the gospel. Now the church is growing so fast, Paul and them are making up their mind, we need to preach the gospel somewhere else. They decide we need to go preach in Asia. Is it good to preach the gospel? Yes, but it wasn't God for them to preach at that time in Asia. And watch this in Acts chapter 16 and verse 5. It said, and so were the churches established in the faith, and they increased in number daily. And when they had gone through that place and returned in the region of Galatia, watch this, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So God in one point is prompting Peter to go preach to the Gentiles. But for them, he's directing them, you need to go another way. They get up close to going, but something on the inside is telling them, don't go do this now. And after they were come to Mysia, they passed again through Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Now notice another phrase in Acts chapter 17. Notice this in Acts chapter 17. And look here in verse 16. Acts 17 and 16, it said, now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him. His spirit was stirred in him. When he saw the city wholly given to idolatry, and that's when he got up and preached to them there at Ephesus. Well, why did he do that? When he saw it, something on the inside was stirring. Something on the inside was prompting. Let's go read one more and we'll close. Acts chapter 18, right next door in verse 5. There are tons of examples of this. I'm just picking the ones that are real close. And when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit, pressed in the Spirit, and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Pressed in the Spirit. The Spirit bade me to go. Spirit suffered me not. It forbid me. There are going to be two ways what you're looking for. You're looking for one of two things. Peace. Another word for it is warmth. It seems good. I need to go in this direction. That's the positive side. And there's another side that's lack of peace. It's a tightness. You get up to it and it makes sense in the natural. But I mean, the closer you get, the tighter you get on the inside. Something's just not right about it. I can't pinpoint it. I just know something's not right. What do? Respond. The third R. If you sense something's not right, I don't care what your mind or anyone else tells you, you wait. You do not get into it. It could be it's just not God's timing. And eventually you'll get peace. But it could be that's not the will of God for you at all. When you get that, obey it. I want you to think about this. Think about the times in your life that got hard. Think about it. Think about at any time before that, did you ever have a constriction? A tightness on the inside? Now think about the times where things worked really well for you. I know there have been times in my life to where in the natural it didn't make sense, but in my heart it made all the sense in the world. There was just a smoothness there, a peace there. Friend, if you can learn to follow that, you will have it made. My father, when he walked on that property, there was a smoothness. On everyone else, there was a tightness. Made all the difference in the world for this church. Friends, I want to encourage you in your own life. When you sense a tightness, respond to it. Back off. Get out. When you sense a peace, when there's a warmth there, when there's a stirring in your heart, when you feel a prompting, when it seems good, jump in. Learn, the better you get at this, you can tell it, the more you're checking. More you're looking to the end, you're walking down the street, you're checking your heart, feel like I should call someone. It seems good. You're not even thinking about it, but it seems good to call. Give so-and-so a call. Call them. It seems good. I just feel, I don't know why, but I need to pay for that person's lunch. Pay for that person's lunch. If it seems good, go for it. You'll learn to follow that seamer, and it'll lead you right smack dab into the blessings of the Lord. And then learn, look to the inside. When you sense that tightness, back off a little and just wait. Wait. And if peace comes, great, act on it. If it never comes, just leave it alone. God is directing you in the ways He knows. Not what He thinks, but what He knows. If you can learn to be led by the Spirit of God, you will have it made. Every about, every eye closed. Woo, you've been a good audience. Let me pray with you. Go, Father, I thank You.